Meet the two men who are experts at talking to animals, or something like that. The Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we've been talking this morning with Pam Johnson-Bennett, who is a certified cat behavior consultant. And Pam, earlier in our conversation, you had mentioned about having gone into homes and helped people when it comes to training their cats. And one of the things that I'm sure you've dealt with this year, as of many, is the issue of no visitors because of COVID. Well, I know that I had an adventure this year because we have a new puppy in our house, and we actually got the opportunity because of COVID to work with a trainer out of Massachusetts, even though we're in Michigan, because we just did an online training session, and it worked out very well. Has that been what you've been forced to do, and how has it worked out for you?
Yeah, it went from, you know, most of my business being traveling to people's homes because I have to see the cat in the environment. That's crucial. And I would do some long distance consultations, but the bulk of my business was, you know, as far as I could drive. Now it's pretty much all online, and so much so that I've had to create a little studio in my office, you know, that's just all set so that I can do my remote consultations. And it's been good because I am reaching so many more people than I used to. Mm-hmm. But the bad part is, even though you are virtually seeing their home and they send me videos and of walkthroughs, and it's not quite the same. You know, it's got its pluses and its minuses. You know, I can reach more people. I save money on gas, that's for sure, because I'm not in the car. But there's a dynamic that's just missing when you're not actually face-to-face. And, you know, we've experienced that on so many levels with COVID, you know, whether it's, you know, being with family, you know, that we're doing so many, you know, remote visits for the holidays. You get to see them on the screen, but it's not quite the same as being there. So I look forward to when I can actually go back to people's homes, but it has been beneficial that I've reached people I never would have been doing consultations with, you know, different parts of different countries, and, you know, just as long as I get the time zones right, and, you know, I have lost a little sleep because I've had to do some in the middle of the night, but it's been fascinating to experience that.
No, the one plus side is you don't have to go into those homes where the cat's been urinating everywhere and smell
and
that.
You know, that is a plus, because some of the homes, you know, where I'd walk in and they'd say, you can't smell that my cat's been peeing all over, can you? And, you know, as my eyes are watering, I'm like, no, not at all.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we call that an occupational hazard.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
Is, and I'm used to it. And when I was doing house calls, I always had clothes in the trunk to change into. If I happened to sit on a couch that had cat pee on it, which happened more often than not. So I learned early on to be prepared with a complete change of clothes.
So urinating problems, sometimes those can be veterinarian-oriented. Do you find yourself sometimes into a situation where the recommendation is just, hey, you've got a blockage problem or anything like that? Or is that usually screened out before you ever show up?
It has to be screened out first. I won't see a cat for a behavior problem unless the veterinarian has cleared the cat that it's not a medical problem. Most especially with any kind of litter box related problem, because surprisingly, very often there's a medical component to it. You know, whether it's a urinary problem, kidney disease, diabetes, you know, there are so many other things that can be a result, you know, even arthritis, that the cat can't get to the litter box, it hurts too much, you know, so you have to rule all of that out first. And then sometimes, even when there is a medical problem, I still will go in and work with them while the cat is either being treated or on medication, because sometimes the cat forms a negative association with the litter box.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to work on helping the cat feel comfortable about using the box again.
So from your show, and I apologize for not have read your books, but I would say that there was a couple of things I learned about litter boxes, and I'd say for a show like this, if we can just depart with a few suggestions on litter boxes, hey, we've done our whole show. One was a larger litter box, an open litter box, and then I was wanting you to comment on whether multiple litter box for multiple cats makes sense as well, and would they be next to each other, or would they be in different rooms? Could you impart us with a little bit more wisdom in regards to litter boxes?
Yes, and here is my guidance for everybody. An open litter box, even though we may like the idea of a covered litter box because we don't want to look at that and we think the cat wants privacy, it keeps the cat trapped in there, and cats need multiple escape routes. So an open litter box, it also helps you be more mindful that, oh, the cat went in there, I need to scoop it out. So the cat should also have a box that is large enough, and the general rule of thumb is 1.5 times the length of your cat from tip of the nose to base of the tail. And if you can't find a litter box big enough, then you can get those plastic storage containers from your local discount store. Don't size the litter box based on where you want to put it. You know, you want to wedge it between the tub and the toilet, so you want this little tiny box. Base it on the size of your cat. The other thing is, if you have multiple cats, you need at least one more box than you have cats, because that's a resource that cats don't necessarily want to share. When a cat goes in to use the litter box, he probably doesn't want to smell another cat in there. He really wants to just smell him himself. So more boxes than you have cats, and don't line them up in one room because that's basically just one big litter box. Look at the areas that your cats like to spend time so that you can situate a box in each cat's core preferred area. It's important for comfort and security that a cat not be forced to walk past another cat's area to get to the litter box. So it's not just number, it's where should I put them so that everyone feels comfortable.
So they don't mind so much being in the same proximity of their own odors. You kind of get an idea of what some thinking might be, is the cat wants to find home in its area, and maybe it's litter in a totally different area, but you're suggesting that within maybe even eyesight from where the cat finds its home, if you will, its most comfortable spot?
It depends on what that core area is. If you have, you know, one cat who really just loves to be, you know, in the guest bedroom, or, you know, one cat who tends to hang out on the cat tree in the living room, just separate the boxes enough so that a cat always has a choice. So that if he's not quite the best of friends with another cat, uh-huh, he doesn't have to pass that cat. So it doesn't have to be that your cat likes to spend time in the bedroom, so make sure there's a box in the bedroom. It can be outside of the bedroom, but just don't force them to have to cross hostile territory if they don't have to. A big part of avoiding problems and lowering stress in cats is offering them choice. When you don't give them a choice, for example, if you have four cats and you have two litter boxes and the two litter boxes are in one room side by side, all of those cats have no choice but to use that location. And what if one cat decides, hey, I'm going to just lounge across the doorway and guard it because I don't really like that other cat? Well, then what is the other cat's option? I either have to stare down and battle this cat to get to the litter box, or maybe I'll just, you know, eliminate on the dining room carpet because nobody's over there, and that'll be less stressful for me. So giving choice by having locations all around lets that cat decide, well, you're guarding that litter box, I don't have to go there. I can go to this other one.
Pam, I hate to say it, but we are about out of time. If any of our listeners are interested in getting in touch with you or finding out more information or getting your books, where do they go?
You can go to my website, and I have a lot of articles on there, so it can get you started. It's catbehaviorassociates.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Pam Johnson Bennett, and my bookstores are on. My books are in Amazon and bookstores everywhere. But if you go to my website, you don't even have to buy a book to get you started. I've got pretty seriously in-depth articles to help you, because that's my goal, is to get you back to the relationship you want with your cat.
Well, thank you so much for being on with us. It's been a pleasure. And unfortunately, Rick, we are out of time. So on behalf of our producer, Grant LaFave, and Rick Pruse, my co-host in the studio, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend. Great weekend. We'll talk next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Meantime, will you all please, please take good care of your pets and stay safe, everybody. Have a great week.
Okay.